welcome. Great to have you here with us today. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and we welcome those here in the West Venue and the East Venue, those that are on our online stream, and as we also mentioned just a little bit ago, those from the Toyota Center who every Sunday morning stream it while they are setting up for the concert tonight. So that's awesome. So we're glad to have you guys listening in as well as you are working. So keep working. Anyway, so let me just talk to you real quick. Here's what we're going to do. We are starting a new series today, and we're going to go through the rest of October. We're going to talk about change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. And this is something that probably most of us struggle with at some point, is our thought life. And so we're going to be talking about this. And to jump into it, I want to tell you something about and read for you in just a moment, something that the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, first of all, I want to explain the Apostle Paul. Someone's like, what in the world? Who's Paul? Paul was first century. After Jesus died on the cross, rose again. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And then the early church began to start. And Paul did not agree with that. Paul did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. He didn't like Christians. He's always trying to break up the early church and was just doing a great job of it. He would not only arrest Christians, he had many of them killed, executed. So Paul was like a bad guy. And I'm paraphrasing all this, but basically, God looked down from heaven and said, man, I need him on my team. And so Jesus literally showed himself to him, and all of a sudden, Paul became a Christian, and he went around starting churches in different locations, different communities, and then a lot of the books of the Bible in the New Testament, the back half of the Bible, are letters that he had written to churches that he had started in different communities, and so that's where we have a lot of those books. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. Paul, what's interesting is what I love a lot about Paul. You know, he wasn't for God, then all of a sudden he's like on fire for God, and as he became a Christian and started the early church, he kind of struggled sometimes with this thinking, with this thought life. And one of the verses that he wrote was like, why do I do what I shouldn't do? And why am I not doing what I should do? You know, who's going to help me through this sin of death? I mean, I need help. And I'm like, man, I am so there. There's so many times that I do things that I shouldn't do, and then things that I should do, I don't do. And I'm going to guess probably maybe two or three of you are like that too. And the reason why is because you and I and Paul all have this pesky little thing in our life called sin. And because we have a sinful nature, because we do things that we shouldn't do, that sinful nature just kind of creeps in and takes over. But Paul talks about this, and we're going to look at what does Paul and other scriptures today tell us about our thought life. I want to start off with Paul. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this in verse 10, or in chapter 10. He goes, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Oh, no, no, no. The weapons that we fight with, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the weapons that we as Christians fight with are not the weapons of the world. Instead, on the contrary, they have, say it with me, divine power. The weapons that you and I fight with have divine power. What happens, and we're going to read this verse a little bit later and go farther down, but it talks about a stronghold. And it's like, what is a stronghold? Let me tell you what a stronghold is. A stronghold is basically a fortified fortress or prison that oftentimes we are in because we have believed a lie. We have believed something from the enemy, our spiritual enemy, Satan. We believe a lie, and because of that, we are put into what's called, Scripture calls it a stronghold. We would say basically like a prison. We're locking ourselves up because we are believing a lie from our spiritual enemy, to which those of you that are here exploring the claims of Christ, and I'm so glad that you are, because every week we have people in different venues, different hours, that are checking out the claims of Christ. You're probably dipping your toe in. You're just kicking the tires. You're exploring. Somebody brought you here or invited you here, and you're just, you know, you've never really known or thought about God, but you're kind of thinking about, just want to check it out. Or maybe you used to have a relationship with God, but over time you kind of drifted away. God didn't drift away. You drifted away. And now you're kind of coming back and kind of exploring, seeing if that's really right for you or not. I'm glad you're here. But can I tell you something? This is a safe place to check it out, to see if God is real. Everybody around you has done that before. But can I tell you, We have a spiritual enemy to which those who are just checking out God today, kind of checking to see if it's right or not. Some of you are going, whew, man, I'm glad I'm not a Christian because I don't have a spiritual enemy after me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And let me tell you why. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, what happens is this, is that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a spiritual enemy, the devil, that Jesus tells us in John 10:10, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. The second part of John 10:10, Jesus says, but I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. But we have an enemy, the devil, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. What does he want to kill, steal, and destroy? Your relationship with God. Your relationship with your family, your job, your finances. He wants to take everything down. He just wants to ruin your life. Again, those of you who are kind of kicking the tires and exploring God, you're like, whoo, I don't have to worry about that. But you do, because you have the same spiritual enemy. Mark, that's not fair. I'm not a Christian. Why is he after me? Can I tell you why? Here's why. Because what the enemy knows, what Satan knows, is that God loves you and God is pursuing you. And God wants a relationship with you. And he's trying to get in the middle and kind of ruin that and kind of keep you away from God. He doesn't want you to understand that God loves you and God's in your corner and God knows more about you than you know about yourself. So the enemy tries to get in there and tries to keep you and God away from each other. So whether you are a Christian or not, we all have the same spiritual enemy. And this spiritual enemy, Satan, will come and he will whisper things into our mind, into our ears. And a lot of times we take it and we listen to it. He'll say things like this. Oh, yeah, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never get married. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. All of a sudden, you're always going to be broke. All these thoughts. And pretty soon you're like, man, I don't think I'll ever get married. I don't think I'll ever have a relationship. I don't think I'll ever get a good. And all of a sudden, you're starting to say it as if it's you saying it, as if that was your thought. The enemy plants that in your mind. And we take it and we believe the lie, whatever lie or lies that he gives us, we somehow believe it. Maybe I will never get married. Maybe I'll never have any friends. Maybe I'll always be alone. Maybe I'll always be broke. Maybe I'll fill in the blank with whatever. And all of a sudden, what you have done, and you probably not even realized it, is you've accepted a lie from the enemy, your spiritual enemy. And you've accepted it, and by accepting it, you have put yourself into this prison. And you're locked up in there, and you don't know what to do to get out because you believed a lie. Today, I want to ask you a question. And if you have our C3 app, if you'd open it right now, when you open it, you will find on there, you'll find a tile that says poll, P-O-L-L, poll, not poll. Poll, okay? Open that up, and then you're going to see this question. And here's the question that's going to be on there. Do you struggle? Do you struggle with your thoughts? And I gave you some examples, like worry, like negative thoughts, or maybe negative self-talk. Negative self-talk is when you talk to yourself in your mind, like, I'm just a loser. I'm always going to be broke. Nobody's going to like me. I mean, all this, that's negative self-talk. Do you have worry? Are you negative? Do you have negative self-talk? Do you have lustful thoughts, things like anything? Do you struggle with your thought life? There's only two answers. You pick one of them and then submit it. Yes, you do struggle with your thought life. No, you don't. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to worry. We're not going to put names up on the screens or anything like that, right? We're just going to put the answers and the percentage of yes and no's, okay? So go ahead, open that up, and pick either a yes or a no, and then submit. Give you just a few seconds as the different venues and those on the online stream are playing along. Okay, so far, this is what we got. 395 of us are saying yes. 23 are liars. Huh? Well, I thought you were going to put my name up there. No. But I'm going to tell you, most of us struggle. Most of us struggle because we live in a sinful, fallen world. And we have so many things bombarding us and so many thoughts from maybe the enemy, but maybe sometimes the enemy uses other people and they say those things to me. You're never going to get married. You're always going to be a loser. Maybe your parents said that to you. Wow. And somehow along the way, you just kind of grabbed a hold of that and believed it. And the enemy's put you in a prison. But yet what you don't understand is the door's unlocked. But you just put yourself in the prison because you believed the lie. And that is not what God's heart is about. Paul goes on in verse 5. Take a look at this. Paul goes on. He says, we demolish, which means crush. We destroy the arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that's not from God, basically, is what he's saying, is that we crush it. And we will, listen, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There is so much scripture, and this is one of them, that talks about our mind. If we would just read those and live on those and apply what those verses say, we would change our thinking. Let me give you something for your notes. You can take notes on our app. You can take notes in the note card in the program, whichever you want to do. But here's the note. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts you think. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. I want you to think about that. What are your thoughts? If you had the thought that, oh, I'll never succeed, you won't. If you have the thought that I can do anything through God who gives me strength because he's my helper, he's my provider, you will. If you have a thought that, oh, I'm just a victim and I'm always going to be a victim, can I tell you, you will be. But if you come into this relationship with Jesus Christ and you realize that, yeah, life isn't perfect. Life has got struggles. But I have God. And I have God in me and through me, and I have a relationship with him. And because that, even though things aren't perfect, I know that he is. So it's not like, you know, sugarcoating, going, oh, everything's lollipops and rainbows. That's not what we're saying. We know there's struggles, but with God, there is hope. There's encouragement. See, we go with our thoughts. Our life is a reflection of our thoughts and how we think. But let me give you something else in your notes. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Think about this. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Do you think that's true? You know, you're strong. That's why you have the marriage you have, because of your thoughts. That's why you have the finances you have, or lack of, because of your thoughts. Our life moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our thoughts lead the way. Everything starts in the mind, and then it acts out. Where are your thoughts at? See, we have to understand that we are battling our mind. God is trying to help us. The enemy is trying to put lies in there to put us into a stronghold or a prison. And so many of us, we do not listen to God. We believe the lie. We believe Satan and the things that he puts into our mind. So here's what I want to do. For just the next few minutes, I want us to get to the point to where we do what I call a think audit. I want you to think about what you think. And I got some things in your notes. It's going to be three different extremes that I want you to think about what you think about. So three different extremes. So now of all three of these, there's going to be two for each one. I want you, as I kind of describe them, I want you to circle one or the other of each of these three. So here, let me give you the first one. The first one for your notes is this: worried thoughts versus peaceful thoughts. Do you mostly worry? I'm not saying 100%. You're going to sometimes have peaceful thoughts. You're going to sometimes have worried thoughts. But which one is the majority? Are you majority basically worried all the time? Like, you can't sleep at night. You're like worried about, you know, am I going to have enough to retire? Am I going to have enough to be able to pay the rent? Am I going to have enough of the? I'm worried about my health. Should I see the doctor? I got this huge lump. I'll just let it go. I mean, right? That's kind of what we do. We worry about things, everything. Are my kids going to turn out okay? Does my wife still love me? All these things. Are we just worried to where oftentimes, and you'll find if you're worried this, if you're not sleeping well at night, if you're waking up at night and you just are tossing and turning and your mind is going like crazy, you probably are somebody who has worried thoughts. Or are you peaceful? Are you able to sleep at night? oh yeah, you're not a millionaire and stuff, but you know, I'm doing what I can for retirement. I'm raising my kids the best way I can. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I'm not a millionaire, but I believe that God is my provider. Scripture tells me that. And I believe he's going to provide for the rent. I believe I've been saving up. I've been doing my diligence. I know that God's never failed me yet. Life isn't perfect, but I still have peace because of God. Which one are you? Circle it. Negative or positive? Which one is it? Now, let me listen. Can I remind you? This is for you, not for your spouse, not for the person sitting next to you, not for your kids. This is for you. Answer it for yourself. Are you more worried or are you more peaceful? Let me give you another one. How about this? Negative mindset versus positive mindset. Do you have more of a negative mindset? Oh, this world's just going to pot. Everything's just falling apart. Oh, that's just terrible. Look at the government. Look at our city. Look at my spouse. Look at my kids. Look at my job. Oh, my job's a joke. And all of a sudden, you're just negative and critical and upset all the time about every single thing. Is that you? Or are you positive? Again, it doesn't mean that you're always one or the other, but which one's the majority? Or are you more positive? Again, yeah, the world's got problems. Yeah, the government's got problems. Yes, but again, I'm reminded, we are just passing through. This is not our final destination. We are going to be spending time with God. We believe that God is actually in control. So which one is it for? Circle, is it more of the negative or is it more of the positive? And be honest with yourself. Circle whichever one. Let me give you another one. Are you more world-minded or are you more eternal-minded? World-minded is like, I need to get this. I want that. This is what I need. All this. Give me. Versus eternal, which is God, thank you for what you provided. What can I do? Use my life to bring you glory for as long as I am on this planet. Which is you? Are you more world-minded or are you more eternal-minded? Again, it don't have to be 100% of each. If one is like 60-40, circle the one that's more 60%. Which one is it? Now, I'm going to guess that probably, not for all of us, but for most of us, probably most of you circled all the ones on one side or all the ones on the other side. And I'm going to tell you, if you circled more of the worry, the negative, and the world view, can I tell you this? I am so glad you're here today. And I want to encourage you to continue to come each week for October as we continue to unpack this, because Scripture tells us what to do about changing our thought life to have a better world view. Let me give you something for your notes. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. I remember when I was a teenager, our youth pastor would always say, like, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever goes into you that's garbage, your thought life, your stuff, the things that you do, comes out. What you think, it comes out. And that's what happens here. What goes into your mind comes out in your life. Can I tell you, in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And the first thing it talks about is the helmet of salvation. Why do you think that's the very first one? Because the helmet protects the head, which symbolizes the thought life. Every sin starts in here. And then as we keep thinking on it and mulling it, then we act out on it. That's why we need to put on the helmet of salvation, be in the Word of God, understand what the truth is that God says. But so often we just listen to the lies and we find ourselves in a stronghold, a prison, we just don't know how to get out. And I'm going to tell you that is not God's heart for you. So today I want to give us some application. First half, I'm just kind of setting up the stage of what the problem is. But I want to tell you today and this week, here's what I want you to do. Two simple things to work on today and through this week. First one, if you're taking notes, is this. Identify. Identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back. What is that number one stronghold? What is that number one lie that is holding you and I back, that has put us in this stronghold, this prison? What is that lie, that one lie that Satan is saying to us in our mind over and over, and we just keep listening to it and playing it over and over and over again? That we've just bought into it. Yeah, I guess that's me. I'm always going to be a loser. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have a good job. Never. You know, what is it? Identify what is that number one stronghold, that number one lie. And can I tell you something? Because as I've been working on the messages for this series, I've been reading a little bit online and some books on kind of how the brain and the mind works. And in your chemistry, my chemistry, all of our chemistry, there is this amazing thing that God gave us. It's a legal drug called dopamine. Dopamine gets released in your brain and makes you feel good at certain times, at certain things. For example, if you've heard some good news that really kind of excited you, boop, dopamine. If you posted something on your social media and somebody like likes it, you're like, woo, dopamine. You have somebody come up to you and say, man, you look really nice today. Woo, dopamine. God has given us this neurological chemical in our brain for things like this. And I'm going to come back to that for just a moment, but let me tell you what else I've learned. When we think a thought, and it's a thought that is negative, that is not good, that is something that the enemy maybe has put a lie into our brain, and we just keep thinking that over and over. It's like, I will never amount to anything. I'll always be a loser. Whatever. Pick it. Right. What they talk about is like in your brain, the way things happen is there's certain pathways. It's kind of like picture a meadow, okay? If there's a meadow and there's like a nice green, you know, grass or whatever, and you walk across the meadow, and then all of a sudden you think that same thought a little bit later, it's like you're walking back on the same path. And as you keep thinking this negative thought, this thing that's not true, but it's a lie, but you're believing it, and you keep thinking about it over and over, pretty soon what happens is you're going to kill the grass in this area and you've created a dirt path. And every time you go in the same path of the same negative thought, it makes it easier for you to think about it again. And you just keep going back and forth thinking different days, different times. Maybe it's the same time you're thinking about it over and over again. But you're just going back and forth and all of a sudden you're creating this negative neural pathway. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that God over and over again tells us in Scripture that we can change our thinking. And if we change our thinking, we can change our life. And we can have a different life, a better life, a true life. And we'd have a new positive pathway instead of listening and going back and forth on the same negative thing over and over. Let me put something on the screen for you. To change our thinking, we have to change the path our thoughts travel on. To change our thinking, you and I have to change the path that our thoughts travel on. So in other words, we got to do things differently. We got to make it different, but so often we don't. Let me give you a couple examples. Let's say this. Let's say that you normally get home from work, and as you get home from work, you usually hear inside the house, if you have got kids, they're like screaming and fighting and all this kind of stuff. And it's like every day you're like dreading coming home. Because every night you come home from work and you're yelling at your spouse, you're yelling at your kids, nothing's picked up, the kids are too noisy, they're not doing their homework, blah, 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 blah. But all of a sudden, what if you picked a different pathway? Because this one isn't working, this is not helping. Because when you come in and yell at it, it just sets the tone for the rest of the night. But what if instead, before you go in the garage door or whatever, what if you just stop there and when you hear the noise and all this stuff, you just pause and you count to 10. For some, it might be you have to count to 500. But you can't, right? And you say a prayer before you go in, and then you go in and you talk to your spouse and give them a hug. You talk to your kids. You give them a hug. You talk about how their day went. All of a sudden, that begins to set the tone for the rest of the night. And all of a sudden, instead of going on this path that just hasn't been working, always causes fights and everybody's mad at each other for the rest of the night, all of a sudden we're on a different path. And this path seems to kind of be better. And as we continue to do this, it's not going to always be perfect, but it's going to be better than what this one was. We got to look for a different path to be able to do things. Let me give you another example. Let's say every time you get depressed, you're like, I'm going to eat. I feel bad about myself. I'm overweight. Nobody's going to want me. Where's the ho-hos? I mean, right? I mean, right? That's what you're doing, right? And you're looking for food. I got to eat. That's a negative pathway because you know that when you eat that stuff, it makes you feel a little better now, but you feel worse later because you're like, oh man, I'm overweight. Now I just gained like 5 more pounds because I ate all this stuff. That was wrong of me. But let me tell you, if you choose a different path going, you know what? I do feel discouraged, but I'm not going to go and open up the fridge and get the ho-hos and ding-dongs. I'm going to go for a walk instead. And all of a sudden, as you're taking your walk, and you're realizing this is a better choice because this is like some exercise and this will help me not gain weight like what I used to do when I ate. And so I'm going to just walk. Every time I feel this way, I'm going to go for a walk. And as you walk, you're feeling good about yourself because you know you picked a better choice and it feels better to you and you're getting energy and you're getting exercise and all that stuff. And guess what's causing that? Dopamine. That's God speaking to you. Good job. Way to go. That helps us to begin to think the right things and have a new pathway, not take the one that's of least resistance that just isn't working, the one that the enemy wants us to stay on. We find a different pathway. Let me give you a verse, Romans 12:2. Take a look at this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. No, don't do that. But be transformed. Listen, but be transformed, say it with me, by renewing of your mind. Say it again. By the renewing of your mind. Say it again. By renewing of your mind. Do you know if you just do this verse, it'll change your life? When we renew our mind, it will change our life. We will not be the same. We'll not walk on the negative things. We will be thinking on what God wants us thinking. We'll be listening to God, not to the enemy. This is what we are to do. If we just took this one verse and did that, that changed everything. So what's the number one stronghold that you have? What is that one thing that the enemy lied to you and you believe the lie and you've put yourself in a prison and you just can't get out? So that's the first thing. What's the number one thing? Identify it. Second thing you're going to do today and this week. The second thing is this. You're going to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. Whatever that number one stronghold is, now you're going to name the truth that takes that thing down. Let me give you an example, true story. When I was in college, we lived on a dorm floor as a bunch of guys, and me and my roommate, we never locked our door. We always had it unlocked. And one day I was coming back to my dorm room, and before I got there, another guy on the dorm floor came to me and said, hey, so-and-so is hiding in your closet. He's going to jump out and scare you. Thank you. So I go into my room, go over to the closet, and just jiggle the handle just a little bit. And then I say real quickly, hey, I know you're in there. And I want to let you know that sound you just heard, I just put a fold-up chair underneath the doorknob. You're locked in. You can't get out. And then I sat on my bed. And the truth is, I didn't put anything underneath the door. I just jiggled it so it sounded like maybe I was doing something. But I just sat on the on my bed. He probably thought I left because I was just quiet as a church mouse. And 5 minutes go by. And 10 minutes go by. 20 minutes go by. Half hour goes by. An hour goes by. Around an hour and a half later, I hear from inside the doorknob begin to jiggle. And suddenly he comes out. And he realizes, as soon as he came out, that I lied. He was in this closet for 90 minutes thinking because he believed the lie that I told him. So he was in literally a prison because of a lie. Can you see what Satan does to us? Some stupid little lie that we just kind of bite onto it. We just kind of think about it. And we're like, well, maybe that really is me. Maybe I'm a loser. Maybe I'll never get married. Maybe whatever, fill in the blank. And we believe that. We got to get to the point to where we identify the number one thing that is our stronghold, and then we got to name the truth that'll take that down. Take that down. What is that truth? Let me look back at our passage that we read earlier this morning. It says this. We're looking at 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, now listen to this. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's the lies of the evil one, right? So what then are we to do? We demolish We demolish arguments and every pretense that set itself up against the knowledge of God. Anything that is not from God, we do not listen to. So what do we do then? And we, listen, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I love that word captive because here's what it reminds me of. Back in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God, and it talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of truth, all, and the belt of truth, all these things. Of all of the things that it lists in Ephesians 6 about the all the armor of God, all of it is defensive. In other words, you put on the helmet to protect yourself. You put on the breastplate to protect yourself. All these things are defensive to keep us safe. Only one, though, is offensive, and that is the sword of the Spirit, or in other words, God's word. God's word is the offensive. When we hear from the enemy these lies, right, that he speaks to us and we grab a hold and start believing it ourselves, he has just put us into a prison. Or actually, he didn't. We've allowed him to. And because we believe these things. And we end up believing these things. But let me tell you, but once we know the truth from God's word, once we know the truth from God's word, all of a sudden we realize what the enemy said is a lie. God is always about truth. God is going, I love you. I know you better than yourself. You are my son. You are my daughter. I want a relationship with you. I want to have a relationship with you now and on into eternity. I've got great plans for you. God is always speaking encouragement, lifting us up. Enemy's always pushing us down. So as we get into God's word, as we read God's word and we read about what God says about us, all of a sudden it raises us up and encourages us. God's word is always about truth. Let me give you a verse in 2 Peter 1:3. It says this: God's divine power has given us what? Everything we need to live a godly life. Let me tell you what that means. That means God has given me everything I need to live a godly life. God has given you everything you need for a godly life. In fact, in whatever venue you're in, or even at the Toyota Center right now as you're setting up chairs, turn to somebody next to you and say, you've got everything you need. Say it to them. You've got everything you need. Because God's word says it, and that's the truth. He has given us everything that we need. So what is the truth to help us get out of this lie, this prison that we're in? Well, let me tell you, John 8:32, I love this verse. It says this: you will know the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. God is all about the truth. The enemy's all about lies. He's the father of lies. But God is the father of truth. And he wants you and I to have the truth to set us free from this bondage that we put ourselves in, this jail, this prison. It's just like the guy that thought I locked him in the closet. He really wasn't locked in. And you aren't locked in either, but you think so because we oftentimes believe the lie. And Jesus goes, I want you to know the truth. How do I know the truth, Jesus? Well, I put it in here. Guess I got to read it. Guess I got to apply it. Guess I got to live it. The truth will set you free. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together today, you're a good God. And I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you, as Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, you speak truth. You spoke truth in Scripture when you were on the planet and you were teaching us. And Lord, even today through your Holy Spirit, when your Spirit takes up residence within us, when we come into relationship with you, your Spirit speaks to us. Dear Jesus, would you help us to not listen to the enemy? The enemy's always wanting to try to put thoughts in our mind that we would believe these lies, that we would have negative situations because of it, and we put ourselves in a prison. But Jesus, today we know that you are not that way. You speak truth. You speak life to us. And I'm so thankful for that. So Lord, right now, everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, we come to you and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth that you speak to us. Thank you for the truth that you give us in your word. May we live and listen to that and create new pathways, new better thinking, and not going back to the old ways. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray for those right now, those that are far from you, that are exploring, kicking the tires today. I'm so glad that they're here. And I pray this, For some of them right now, they are knowing that today is their day to come into relationship with you. And so, Lord, right now, in whatever venue they're in, or the Toyo Center, wherever they're at, God, they're bowing their heart, and in their heart and their mind, they're saying, dear God, forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you took the penalty for my sin so I don't have to. Thank you, Jesus, that I can, because of what you did, I can have a relationship with you, and I can now know the truth because the truth will set me free. And this relationship I have starts now and goes throughout the rest of life and on into eternity. Jesus, thank you for being in our corner, for loving us, for encouraging us, and may we focus on the truth of what you say about us. So, Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision today. And we celebrate you because you're always wanting us to change our thoughts and our mind to line up with you, not with our enemy. Thank you, Jesus. You've given us everything we need. In your name we pray.